Let's open in a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we just thank you so much, God, for the joy we have in Christ as we gather together tonight. We thank you, Lord, here on the eve of this year and the beginning of a new year, Lord, as our pastor Eric preached to us earlier today that we should live a life of expectation that you would provide to us this coming year, guidance, strength, and wisdom. And we pray for that now, Lord, even here this moment. We thank you, God, for each one here. We thank you for the privilege of meeting together, God. And I pray that you would bless us, keep us, and strengthen us, Father, in this time, that you would be exalted and high and lifted up, that the Lord Jesus Christ would be glorified. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to thank Pastor Eric again for the privilege, the opportunity to preach. It's a blessing here. Again, the last sermon of the year, what a joy and a privilege to do this. And I want to begin with two short stories about the great Scottish reformer John Knox. You know, he lived a life of great peril. And one time when he was being warned of another assassination attempt on his life, he responded in a way I thought was notable and I wanted to share. He told them, "My life is in the custody of him whose glory I seek. And therefore, I cannot so fear their boast nor tyranny that I will cease from doing my duty when God of his mercy offers the occasion." What a beautiful sentiment. My life is in the custody of him whose glory I seek. He lived a courageous life, and he had many notable run-ins with Queen Mary of Scotland. One of them, Queen Mary asked him, "Who shall I believe? On the one hand, I have all these counselors, Roman Catholic counselors that were part of her court. And on the other hand, John Knox." And so she asked, "Who shall I believe?" Knox responded to her, "You shall believe God, who plainly speaks in his word." And we praise the Lord for his courage in that day, speaking to Mary, Queen of Scots, the way he did. And we rejoice that the Lord speaks to us plainly in his word tonight to us. So if you would turn to Romans chapter 6. We want to look at this passage, which I was saying to Jacob earlier, has been plowed so many times, and yet we pray will be plowed many more times in the future. But it is worth going over because this chapter is so rich. And yet we just want to focus on one verse, verse 11. "Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Now, this is a summation of a thought he's had in this chapter, the Apostle Paul's. He writes, and he's writing concerning how we are to live in light of salvation. How do we deal with sin? And this is what this chapter's dealt with. So we are to do it in two passages, to look at how we are to reckon ourselves dead indeed to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. First thing I want to look at is the word "reckon" there. We want to look at the word "reckon," and it really means consider. It means to judge, means to esteem, means to think or suppose. So when we think of the word "reckon" there, he's saying to live in light of what God has done for you in the death of Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm so thankful for the songs we sang earlier tonight. We had not arranged that the focus is on the cross, and yet this is the very focus of this chapter, the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of what he did on the cross, he made all these things possible to us through faith in him. And we see that even looking up at verse 6, if you would. Notice what he says there. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that we should no longer be slaves of sin, that the body of sin may be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. So in verse 6 there, we're seeing what Christ has done. We're to know this. This is something we're to not only believe, but we're to know it. This is an act that has been done on our part by Christ. As we believe in him, we are in union with him through the cross, that we are to esteem, consider, judge, to suppose, to believe what he has done for us on the cross, what is true of Christ in his death and resurrection is true of us as believers. This is how we are to understand Scripture. God here is plainly speaking to us in his word. This is not something that we are to look at and wonder what it means. The very clear meaning of the text is that we have been crucified with him. We have been crucified with him in his death on the cross. Because of that, we have freedom. Two things that Christ accomplishes in the crucifixion. One is that the body of sin might be done away with, and that we should no longer be slaves of sin, as verse 6 tells us. That we are freed from the power of sin once for all. This is something that is no longer true of us as Christians. We are no longer in that sphere. You can see in Colossians chapter 1 where he describes the same truth to us, that we have been conveyed or delivered from the kingdom or dominion of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. Through faith in Christ, we are no longer under the domination or dominion of sin in our life. We are to reckon ourselves dead indeed to sin once for all, forever. Because verse 7 tells us, he who has died has been freed from sin. We are no longer slaves of sin. We have been freed from sin once and forever because of the finished work of Christ on the cross. This is such truth for us that we have to not only read it, but we have to apprehend it by faith, believing what God has done for us, that we are no longer slaves of sin. We have been freed from the power of sin once for all, forever. And we have to continually remind ourselves of this. This is what Paul is writing to the Roman Christians, to reckon yourselves dead indeed to sin, to understand that sin no longer has dominion over us. Sin no longer has power that it once did, because you are dead to it, just as those who have died are dead to sin forevermore. There in verse 7, that's speaking of all men everywhere. That is not just Christians. Whoever has died, they are dead to sin. Whatever sins they may have racked up through their life, that is ended. The judgment will come, but sin in their life is no more. They are dead to sin. I am reminded of the humorous epitaph of the old Wild West, where one was written that said, "Here lies Lester Moore, two slugs from a .44, no less, no more." No Lester, no more. He was gone forever. He was dead, and because of that, he was dead forever to sin and whatever he had done in the past. It's like any other person that's ever lived and passed away. They are dead to sin. That sin has no more dominion over him, over them. And yet we as Christians, that same truth is fact, that because Christ died, we died. And because of what happened to us through faith in Jesus Christ and his crucifixion on the cross, we are dead to sin. We are to reckon ourselves dead to sin. We are to account ourselves that way, to consider ourselves that way, to understand this is what has happened. We are to esteem ourselves as dead to sin. This is something we should continually remind ourselves of what has happened to us in our life as Christians. However the world sees Christianity, we know from what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 that the message of the cross to those who are perishing is what? Foolishness. It's foolishness. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And we praise God for that, that in the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ, the exaltation for him did not begin there. The crucifixion is the exaltation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Savior lives. He died the most humiliating death on the cross. And yet in that humiliation, he is glorified. He is exalted. He is high and lifted up, as he says, "If I am lifted up, I will draw all men to myself." God has glorified his Son in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to relish, we are to revel, we are to be exultant in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, because in that he is glorified. He reigns forever. He lives, but there is no resurrection without the crucifixion. The crucifixion is absolutely essential in the life of a Christian. To understand Christianity apart from the crucifixion is to not be able to understand Christianity at all, because there is no Christianity apart from the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. When Paul came to the Corinthian church, he came and said, "I am determined to know nothing among you except Christ and him crucified." We are to understand in the same way the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is exalted in that. And because of our identification with him, our union with him, we ourselves are crucified with him on the cross. We have died. And because of that death, sin no longer has dominion over us. We are no longer slaves of sin. If you are here tonight and you are living in continuing sin, please understand you're living a lie. You're being deceived, because what God's word says that we are to plainly understand, as he plainly speaks to us in Scripture, is that we are to consider ourselves dead to sin. We are to reckon ourselves dead. We are no longer in that. We are dead to it. We are dead to it forever. Hallelujah. Praise God that this is our state. This is where we are. We are no longer under that sphere. We have been removed from it once and forever. And the joy we have in Christ is not only are we dead to the power of sin, we are alive. We are to reckon ourselves alive to God. We are to understand, as dead as we are to what has happened in our previous old man, in the life that we lived as before we came to faith in Christ, we are now to reckon ourselves alive to God. And again, this is also forever. This is permanent. This is something that never, never ends. As verse 8 tells us, and again, we're just going through these verses because this is a linear thought that Paul gives us. This is truth that we are to take and consider, not to rush over trying to get through it, but to take a moment and look at it and consider what we're reading here. He says, "Now, if we've died with Christ, then we believe we will also live with him." Something, again, very simple, very plain speaking, but this is our hope. This is our expectation, that as we have died with Christ, we will live with Christ. Christ did not stay in the grave. He rose from the dead. And again, this is the central, wonderful truth of the gospel, that our Savior reigns because he lives. He lives, and he lives forevermore. Again, without the resurrection, there is no Christianity. The Christian entire thought we have, the entire doctrine we have, the entire theology we have as Christians is grounded in the truth of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. For those that seek to propose that Christianity is a project for us to improve ourselves, because Christ was a master teacher, and because of that, we are to seek to gain and improve our condition before God, to grow and become better and better. That is not the message of the gospel. The message of the gospel is a mortification of ourselves, not an improvement of ourselves, to put to death the old man who has been crucified with Christ forever. Because of that, we are to reckon ourselves alive to God. And this, again, is forever and ever. What Pastor Eric, one of the verses he quoted earlier was wonderful verses. One was John chapter 5, verse 24, where Jesus says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life." Aren't you glad tonight, if you're a Christian, that you have passed from death into life? What a joy, what a privilege. Sometimes we are almost speechless when we consider that we have passed from death into life. Death no longer has dominion over us. What Christ accomplished on the cross in his resurrection was to give us power over sin. We are no longer slaves to sin. We are no longer under the dominion of death, as we read there in verse 9, where he says that knowing that Christ, who was raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. Because of that, death no longer has dominion over us. Because of what Christ accomplished on the cross, we are free from the dominion of sin. We are free from the dominion of death. We are no longer under that. Christ, the death that he died, we read in verse 10, he died to sin once for all. It's the work is finished. For any who think that the work continues on, that Jesus must be continually crucified and sacrificed, that is not what Scripture teaches. Scripture is saying that he died to sin once for all. When Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished," he meant it, and we are to believe it, that he meant it forever. The work is done, and it is done forever. He is dead to sin, he is alive forevermore, and he lives to God. And we likewise are to reckon ourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, there's so many aspects of this passage that we could go to, but I just want to look very quickly at just a few thoughts here. The one is that this has all been done for a purpose. When we consider salvation, the blessed work of Christ on the cross, what he has done in our life, in the life of a Christian, and if any here do not know Christ, I echo the prayer of Pastor Eric this morning that if anyone does not know Christ, today is the day that they should come to Christ, to recognize what he has done and to believe and trust in him, come into eternal life to receive that. It's interesting in the Greek, the verb to hear and the verb to obey really is a play on words. The word to hear is a word, it's a word that really just means to hear words, to recognize that what has come into our hearing. But the word to obey is a word, has that same Greek word, but it has the word hupo at the beginning of it. And that word hupo is where we get the English word hyper. So we have children that are active. We have some children that are hyperactive. That means they're active in a higher degree or beyond what is normal. But to understand obedience in Scripture, the word there is hupo. And it is a hearing that not only goes in the ear, but goes into the heart, into the mind, to affect us in who we are as people, that we would respond with lives of obedience to Christ. And that's what Christ is calling us to, that we are to hear and to believe and to receive everlasting life, that we have passed from death into life. You know, the Apostle Paul wrote about this in Ephesians, the real purpose of God in us, understanding that. And in verse 4, he talks about that, where he speaks that we have been chosen in him from the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. This is God's purpose for us as Christians, to be holy and without blame before him in love. This is what he wants for us. And what Paul is writing here in Romans is speaking the same truth, that we are to reckon ourselves dead indeed to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord, that we can live lives that are holy and without blame before him in love. So this is permanent. This work has been done. Through Christ, we are in union with him because what he has accomplished on the cross and in his resurrection, as he died on the cross, we are to reckon ourselves dead indeed to sin. And yet in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, we are to reckon ourselves alive to God, and this forevermore. What a glorious truth Scripture gives us here. And yet, also understand that this does not mean life is going to be full of rainbows and roses. Life is difficult. Life is challenging. Life is hard. There are going to be and have been disappointments, disillusionments, failures. People will let us down. We let people down. Things that once we thought were beyond the scope of comprehension or now possibly at our doorstep. Things that we would not ever consider occurring might occur and have occurred. You know, in 2 Corinthians, I really believe this is Paul's most personal letter. When I finally lost my sight some years ago in the hospital, my father-in-law, Tom, I asked him to read 2 Corinthians to me, because in that letter, I really believe we see the heart of Paul. When you look at chapter 1, for example, even beginning at verse 3, he describes God as the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. And he goes on to talk about that, how they had been challenged beyond degree and above strength, and they despaired even of life. This is the same apostle who wrote this in Romans. He understood life was hard, and yet in verse 10 of that chapter, he speaks about how God had delivered him, God is delivering him, and he trusted that God would deliver him. And the grounds for that was found in verse 9, that we are to not believe and trust in ourselves, but trust in him who's raised from the dead. Because of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, we have hope in this world. Despite whatever befalls us, despite whatever current situation we're in, he is with us. He will never leave us or forsake us. And because of that, we recognize what he has done is ours forever. We are to reckon ourselves dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, Galatians chapter 2 really echoes the sentiments of this. And really it's before an echo, because he wrote Galatians before, but he speaks to that same truth there in verse 20 of chapter 2. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So in the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ, in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, we have confidence, we have hope, despite what is before us, despite what this new year may bring. We have a standing in Christ that is unshakable, that is unmovable, that cannot be changed, that is ours forever through faith in Christ. And we have confidence that he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. And just as we read in chapter 8 of Romans, when we read there, when he poses the question to the Romans, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? What a question. He says, as it is written, for your sake, we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, amen. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Praise God for his love, his unshakable, unmovable, unending love that he has for us. God loves us. We praise the Lord for that love. For neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Reckon yourselves dead indeed to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. God is plainly speaking in his word. Respond where you are. This is an invitation. Come to faith in Christ. If you are walking with Christ, renew your efforts. Continue to reckon yourself dead to sin. Continue to reckon yourself alive to God more and more, that we may grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, we rejoice, we praise you, we thank you, Lord, for what you have done in the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross at Calvary. We thank you, God, that he rose from the dead through power imbued by you, and he lives forevermore, Lord, and we rejoice in that we have a living Savior, the Lord of life, the Lord of all. He reigns today, and we rejoice in that, and we exult in that truth, that through union in Christ, through faith in him, we are yours forever, God, not because we deserve it, not because we've earned it, but by your grace, but by your mercy, Father. If there's anything that humbles us, God, it should be to recognize what has been done. We who are enemies, who are ungodly, who are sinners, who are helpless, and yet you gave us eternal life and took our sin from us, that we have been freed from the dominion of sin, freed from slavery to sin, freed from the dominion of death, that we will live forevermore. We have everlasting life through faith in Christ. And I pray tonight, Lord, if anyone here does not know Christ, Lord, that they would put their faith and trust in him to believe what you have plainly spoken in your word. And I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.